Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas, Need to Know News. Today is Friday, the 3rd of November, 2023. And we do have important stories to discern the objective, verifiable reality from the spin. All right, the topics and the stories. We have the ongoing PSYOP of the war by Israel onto Gaza. I got one new story, new evidence for the Dew attack and the Maui massacre from that real estate guy on Maui. Trump-Biden optics and a few stories on COVID with the transformation for the recognition of that being crimes against humanity. All right, so here we go. So regarding the war, this is interesting. The military planes are up and the commenters who do this. Now, I haven't seen Monkey Works on YouTube. That is usually my go-to guy. It's been a little busy and since this story. But that's what they're saying is that we have a massive deployment of military aircraft over the U.S. And Brian, anytime, do you want to make an opening statement? Anything that you want to share up front? I got to start doing
that. No, I mean, I guess if I was just to tell everybody something, you know, I used to sit down and take notes on every single article and sort of read all the comments and sort of isolate it, kind of devise what I thought about it or summarize some of the best ideas or concepts. But these days, there's so much going on that I have to spend a lot of time just reading about context and history. And most of my focus lately has been sort of bouncing off current events with the Bible, which, you know, I studied for 6 years at Moody Institute in Chicago. They didn't screw me up too bad. I think I have a pretty straightforward theology, but I'm really trying to understand a lot more of the historical context of what made Israel Israel. And so you'll be able to see some of those threads and some of that pattern in everything I talk about probably in the next few shows. Just sort of pay attention for it.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel you with that history. As a history teacher, so when you're credentialed in social science for secondary education, and this is typical throughout the U.S. and all the different states, you're supposed to teach the whole entire history of the world, everything from middle school through high school. And that's everything that has ever happened, as well as government and economics. And it's a lot. And in attempting to, in good faith effort, understand the history, just as you're saying, you got to dive in and you have a lot of questions. And then you get the additional layer of us is that once you figure out that we're being lied to, then it's a different type of hunt for the facts. And sometimes all you can do is prove the official story is a lie and you really don't know what happened for real. But I am so looking forward to, brother, if we can win this war with the release of the actual history. And I will volunteer if we win for the Federal Department of Education, just to have a little say in that, basically to destroy the Department of Education at the federal level, because it's just a control agency in order for the states to follow the scripts. But if we could have the Smithsonian ripped open with actually what they have in the Vatican Museum and just have a database so that people can jump in and learn and not have to dig and scramble for the facts. So we shall see.
So sort of the anti-Wikipedia, the opposite of Wikipedia, something actually filled up with early and reliable evidence of truth and events as they actually happened.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be very difficult because actual history is much more sophisticated than any author or any book is able to summarize. You can write about all sorts of different events. And the true thing is you don't really understand history until you understand why people did what they did. And that's a very difficult thing to isolate when you're talking about complex people in a complex culture at a complex time with multiple influences taking place. So we do the best we can. I happen to be a guy who likes to sort of prioritize the earliest and most reliable evidence I can possibly find, because there's your early witness It's just the same way I parse false flags. It's look for all the earliest witnesses. Matter of fact, I was just looking at the Uvalde shooting again and cross-referencing the Angel Ledesma Facebook live stream of the actual event that was 56 minutes with the interior surveillance footage that was put out months and months later. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes any sense. They don't care. They're just going to gaslight you and tell you it does.
Yeah, that's all that they're going to do. That's all they're going to do. With professional historians, we want those early reliable sources that are independent from each other and that aren't attached to any particular version. All right. So back to the war. Wanttoknow.info, I do recommend.
Well, wait
this
a second.
Supply.
Let's address that about the military aircraft.
Oh, yep.
I think there is something to it. Correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation. There could be all sorts of different programs running, or it could just be a unnaturally heavy day in terms of flight traffic. But I really do like Monkey Works running his analysis. I don't have the time to watch all of his shows all the time, but I find that he, when you do sit down and begin to analyze what he's doing, you can find all sorts of facts. I am a subscriber to Flight Radar, and when I see an event take place, then one of the first things I do is go back and record all the flights in and out of that particular area at a particular time, because they do make mistakes. And sometimes you'll find the military jets and weaponry and helicopters. For instance, in Uvalde, it was a very interesting thing to study the flight patterns, because you could see literally airplanes being deleted from the system and dropping off. You could see helicopter patterns that made absolutely no sense in terms of victims being transported to hospitals. And then you cross-reference that with, you know, some doctor's statement that originates from the hospital about performing 57 different surgeries on 24 different people for 197 bullet wounds. It's just a bunch of bullshit. And the deeper you go on the detail, the more you realize that to the victor goes the spoils. And here in America, the victor appears to be the media, although I think that their strength is beginning to wane.
Yeah, and that's really a big deal. And just to encourage our audience and ourselves just to stick with the truth. Regarding flight patterns, one of the data points that I contributed to Sandy Hook was the idea that on the 2 years previous, they had regular satellite pictures over Sandy Hook. But on the day of the alleged shooting, there were chemtrails. Planes just went back and forth and lined that out. And I think
they cleaned Uvalde too. They cleaned all that satellite imagery off of Uvalde as well. I found the original earliest and most reliable satellite image from like 1996, where the school was actually operating. And then they erased everything after the school stopped operating, and then froze all the street view, froze all the flight footage. And as a matter of fact, I asked people, because I had studied that before I went to Uvalde to evaluate the actual scene. And I had asked some of the neighbors, and of course they seemed lost about the whole thing. I think that they were mostly just planted to sit outside and tell stories to the media. And then what happened is they ran a number of these crisis actors and kids through the crowd to tell fake stories. And you could tell that there was one out of three or four kids that was designated to tell the story, and the other three or four kids kept their mouths shut. And then they were all escorted by one adult who was overseeing and staying off camera to make sure that they were talking. I ran into that three or four times, but all that footage of that school, I couldn't get a straight answer anywhere in terms of when it was operating, what it was operating, how it was operating. And there were crisis actors literally planted all over the place down there.
Yeah. And that's hero's work, Brian. That is sufficient documentation for any reasonable person to be suspicious and to demand an independent investigation. And actually, you have enough evidence there to be able to demonstrate that the official story is demonstrably false, and therefore the officials pushing that theory should immediately be arrested. Okie doke. Wanttoknow.info. So one of the cautions that Joe Olson has been giving time and again is that we have four aircraft carrier groups who are in the Mediterranean, and these are World War II aircraft carriers that are within the next year or two scheduled to be decommissioned. So what Fred Burks, my friend and colleague, former State Department official who created this site, which in my estimate is the best site if you want to know about the real world with everything that you see here and can explore, and with verifiable sources, it's great. So what they're pointing to, Joe Olson and Fred Burks here, is that, hey, so the Joint Chiefs passed Operation Northwoods, and one of the aspects of this plan was blowing up a U.S. military ship and hijacking planes and blowing them up and then blaming them on the target to attack. So all you need to do is blow up a carrier, blame Iran, and boom, you have World War III. Just a heads up.
Interesting theory. They send ships that are about to be decommissioned over as, and then they're going to place an American flag on them and blow it up and say that Hamas did it. It's certainly not anything that's beyond these guys. I mean, if they have an engine that's limping, I'm sure they'd be happy to sink it, call it a disaster, and do another Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, and in Pearl Harbor, those aircraft carriers were brand spanking new. So those were all taken out of Pearl Harbor. That was the number one target for the Japanese. But what was left for them to take shots at were the World War I junk stuff. And false flags are all we get. So the UN is saying that 70% of the Gaza victims, and that's like 9,000 right now, are women and children. You have Denis Kucinich, who I partnered with as a former member of Congress, not me, him, for the attempted impeachment of W. and Cheney for that lie-started illegal war of aggression. And I just want to offer this as a nice, I don't think nice is the right word, but a strong essay to be able to demonstrate that this is just bombing civilians and wiping out civilians and hospitals. And these are crimes, war crimes within an illegal war. And we have the U.S. passing standalone bill for $14.3 billion emergency support for Israel. And part of the history of this is that Mossad was trying to blow up the Mexican Congress 1 month after 9/11, but they were released under pressure from the Israeli embassy. And this was a history that I wasn't aware of. But again, with the history of Israel that I am aware of,
Carl, the articles aren't coming up. It's still just our faces.
Oh, guess I didn't do screen.
But that's okay. While you fix that, let's address something about Gaza's floating on a sea of natural gas. There's pipelines connected to it. Pipelines take it to the sea. The gas is pulled out Strait of Hormuz, along with a lot of the Saudi and Afghani oil. Strait of Hormuz represents 30% of the traffic related to oil exports from that particular area of the Middle East. It's in 30% of global trade, including everything that goes through and up to the Black Sea, up into Ukraine, I believe. So it's a real big deal. There's a lot of threads out there about the economic justifications for killing these Gazans, Palestinians within Gaza, at least. And it looks like the fingers are pointing towards, again, the globalist oligarch types trying to eliminate the competition. So from an economic perspective, it does stink as well.
Yep. All right, let's try to effectively screen share here and go back. All right, so here's the, did you see this one, Operation Northwoods?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Northwoods. Anybody who is into conspiracy theories knows that was declassified a long time. And it was McNamara. I didn't trust the damn word he said when he did his Fog of War documentary.
Yeah. At least he admitted that the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the article saying the UN, 70% are children. This is the article. And the links are all in the show notes for BitChute. That's Kucinich's article. And here we go for the 14.3 billion. And this interesting history that I didn't know until I think Jim sent this or Joe sent this. And then this is the history that I do know, is that for 16 years, Israel has had a blockade on Gaza. It's an act of war, so that's an illegal war of aggression, that they restrict necessities to live. And now they have cut off, or so we're told, the essentials to live, which places them in it at immediate, and probably it has already started, dying of thirst primarily, and diseases, and all kinds of desperation. We have the USS Liberty, the Levant affair, addressing as Palestinians to hurl rocks. And they're allied with, of course, the greatest psychopaths, the US, the UK, and NATO, for their ongoing Orwellian wars of aggression. All right. Got anything that you want to jump in now?
Yeah, you know, if you're taking a look at the big picture, you've got to realize that the globalist agenda fails in societies that are heavily populated with nationalistic types of people. And so you've got to break down the nationalism. They've done so in Italy. They're doing so here in America by importing and opening up the borders, making us nothing more than a geographical area rather than a nation comprised of right-thinking people under the Constitution of the United States. But all over the world, wherever the globalists have wanted to implement their plan of control, they have done everything they can to denationalize, deculturalize a particular country or a particular language group. The big resistors, of course, are China, Russia, Pakistan, and others that are independent, maintain their independence, and don't allow shenanigans from the CIA in terms of replacing the current regime with the new regime. So if you look at what's happening here, I believe that the spearhead, the tip of the spear for the globalist agenda actually originates from a number of Israelite leaders, billionaires, people involved in the group. Now you could go after the same with the Jesuits and the people from the Vatican. You could go after the same with your Freemasonry and your psychopathic American style leaders. But remember, it is unlikely that they're going to be able to achieve their goal of a global government while one third of the world's population continues to be nationalistic. So it's easier to eliminate a large portion with COVID vaccines and psychological warfare and then crossbreeding among other cultures. Remember that one of the main points in biblical history, which has a lot to do with Israel, was the protection and preservation of the bloodlines related to the 12 tribes of Israel as they began to develop post-Abraham. And it was very, very important that these bloodlines remained pure. And of course, if you've ever heard the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritans were despised in Jesus's time because they were half-breeds. They were people that had been fertilized. They were the offspring of the fertilization of outsiders with the Jewish types, and they were hated, jeered, spit on, and destroyed by the pure-blooded Jewish people. Now, that's something that's been built into this particular mindset for a long, long time. So if you're taking a look at the current situation, you see Israel and they would see themselves as the pure Abrahamic children. I would say they're not children of Abraham at all, because they don't understand the covenant and they don't understand the promise. But regardless, they hate half-bloods, half-breeds. They despise them and they don't want them to be considered part of Israel and part of their history and their culture. Now, times have changed and they'll allow you to marry outside, but that other person has to convert, or you're basically held at arm's length in the local synagogues. But still, that heavy ethnic nationalistic influence is still there. And then when you combine that with the idea of the quote unquote chosen people, you can really run into a lot of hot zones in terms of why they hate everybody else and why they despise the Gazans and why they've surrounded them and basically created a massive prison camp, and why they're wanting to exterminate the other races. Don't think America hasn't played the same game. Look at Operation Paperclip in Germany. What did we do? We brought all those guys in. We didn't care. We like that idea of nationalism and dedication to it, and we brought those guys right on over and sewed them right into our architecture.
So, Brian, with the chosen people, my current hypothesis is that they were chosen. The Yahweh, the Old Testament God, is a committee, and that these people are evil, these beings. And then they created a type of hybrid so that their empathyless, loveless character would have a human face, so that whatever these gods are could operate through the puppets of their chosen people. So they GMO'd some humans with their reptilian-like predator nature in order to be the go-betweens between the sheeple, the flock, the food source, and the masters who operate through the chosen people. What do you think about that idea?
Well, the problem is that Jesus came around and quoted from the Torah, quoted from the Old Testament. He said things like, from the righteous blood of Abel to the righteous blood of Zechariah. And the problem was with that Old Testament concept of Yahweh as sort of just another localized God who's competing for the attention of culture and society, is that the Old Testament is loaded with messianic prophecy. I mean, you can't go wrong with something like Isaiah 53, the promised coming of the suffering servant line of the Messiah. Now, remember, Messiah was supposedly, there was two lines of prophecy on him. There was the suffering servant line, and then there was the righteous king and deliverer line. So a lot of people overemphasize the sort of righteous king deliverer line, the bloodthirsty Yahweh of the Old Testament. And they underemphasize that this is exactly the same God, and these are exactly the same scriptures that prophesied over 635 times that Jesus Christ would come along preaching a gospel of peace and changing society and delivering the Holy Spirit to a new covenant. So that replacement of the old bloodthirsty old covenant was simply replaced with the new covenant. And let me point out that if it's true that there is only one monotheistic God that designed and created and spoke it all into power, we have to be able to identify who he is. Well, he identified himself many, many times with the construction of a lot of this, and then he placed his word basically written in stone, and testified to by Jesus Christ himself to validate his identity. So I am convinced that this God that gave these revelations to these people is indeed the monotheistic creator that's simultaneously present throughout all time, able to speak something into existence out of nothing, and is the worker of miracles, because he's only manifested one type of prophet, one type of son, one type of man who was able to bypass natural law. It was witnessed by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. He came to heal the sick and heal the blind and save the broken. He preached to the Samaritans who were hated at the time, and he found himself basically being crucified on a cross for the sins of the whole world. I do believe in the sacrificial lamb, and I do believe that that was necessary because he's not only a God of blood, but he's a God of mercy. So are they the chosen people? I would make the argument that indeed they were chosen at a particular time. Have they lost that? Boy, there's a whole lot of theology out there about that. Whole lot of theology and a lot of different opinions about it. But I believe that the new covenant basically replaced the old covenant, and the old covenant is no longer effective.
Very good. Thank you, brother.
Got him.
Oh,
Fly was something all over the place.
Yeah, I noticed that. Good job. All right, so just one update with Maui and this guy from Hawaii Real Estate. Let's see, what is his name? Eric West, that's his name. So he goes through, and this was shot yesterday, and I'll just show some of the shots. So this is a nice area here. There he is. And then he goes to these buildings that were burned from the inside out. And he's just wondering, what is up with that? And he walks around, and he didn't recognize what this was, but this might have been the smart meters that were activated. And you can see the brush here. This is supposed to be a wildfire, but of course these buildings blew up and only affected a couple of the buildings. That's what the buildings used to look like. That's next to them. And then you can see the contrast between the two. It goes up to a car that got smashed by something.
We saw a lot of this similar behavior in the California fires, where they basically cut all up and down that swath where they wanted to build the new freeway. It was eerie how they had been fighting over that land to build that new freeway, and then all of a sudden, it all goes up in flames, sort of in a perfect line along the freeway structure.
Looking somewhere. These have been here for a while.
And then he gets
Looks
to
pretty the
this.
same. And I know it didn't get moved here, because you can still see the scorch marks on the building. Okay, so how this thing.
Not a wildfire, not natural, with temperatures greater than can be produced in a fire. And he just goes through and walks around and shows you some of the random things that just were hit with no apparent fuel source nearby. And I like how he presents it. You could feel the anger and the passion for justice in trying to get to the truth. Oh, that's another good one. And he's asking for expert witnesses to be able to help him out. I mean, anybody who is able to see with their own eyes and process information, you can tell that this was not a natural fire. And there's so much to it, the kill zone revolving these people through. And we have done previous shows on this for the Maui massacre. Any thoughts and comments on this one, Brian?
Well, the first laser was tested in 1960. We're in 2023, 63 years later. If you think that we haven't figured out a way to direct our energy or direct energy in a particular way or combine different wave patterns or energy forms, you're out of your mind. Think about the first radio broadcast that was broadcast from London and was picked up in Quito, Ecuador, and Hawaii, and Argentina, and China. We are able to do things well beyond our what the general public has been told about the technology. Now, the problem is, and why do I say this? Number one, I believe they're suspicious as well. I'm not a fire guy, and I'm not going to say that my brain goes out the window because of that, but it sure looks funny to me, and the California fires sure look funny to me, and I have no doubt that there's some sort of flying object up there that's able to capture energy from the atmosphere and redirect it down in some sort of different pattern or style. But I imagine that that technology is either classified or I'm just completely ignorant of what it is and how it works. But again, microwave weapons, lasers, 1960, way back, old tech. It's impossible to believe that technology hasn't advanced multiple folds over what it used to be. Now, that brings up an interesting scenario. Why are we then still fighting wars the old-fashioned way? Guns and bullets are the most effective way to fight a war. Tanks and weapons, are we in some sort of freeze where we're unwilling to roll out the new weaponry? It seems to me that World War I and World War II were fought man to man, hand to hand. And this next world war that we're about to break into, whether it's number three, four, five, or six, or seven, they don't give a damn here in America about the military. It doesn't appear to me that they're trying to build a high grade, qualified military soldier. So they must be relying on some weapons and some confidential type stuff more than I can possibly imagine to do the next one, because if it goes up in flames, which I imagine they'd like to see that happen. Nuclear bombs have been around since the 50s. I mean, we have the possibility to annihilate life as we know it in this place. And it scares the hell out of me, but there's nothing you can do about it. So worry about the things you can change and don't worry about the things you can't.
Yep. And in terms of these stories that we're talking about for like the Maui massacre and that information that people may conclude, well, that's, not my area of expertise. I don't know. All you need to do is really get enough so that the official story is refuted to a reasonable person. And then you demand arrest because the people are not reasonably addressing the questions of what that stuff is going on. All right, some Trump Biden optics. Got five of these. So, in trying to remove Trump from the ballot, claiming that he violates the 14th Amendment of being an insurrectionist, this is a funny case, and it's just getting funnier. So, first, the prosecutors, in order to take this, he has to dictate that Trump is an insurrectionist. He hasn't been charged with anything. He hasn't been convicted. So, for you to remove him from the ballot because he's an insurrectionist. Is he's an insurrectionist because we say so, and that's it. But in this case, they have selectively played clips of Trump talking without the exculpatory evidence that is required by law for prosecutors to be able to show his tweets and his comments saying to go and voice peacefully. And then they lied about the time for another person making a speech by 2 hours in order to make it look like they were fomenting violence at the Capitol and people are paying attention. Arab Americans have withdrawn consent from Biden. And this was an interesting number here. Arab support for Biden was at 59% in 2020. I did not know that. And then even before this latest business with the destruction of the optics for Biden, it was down to 35, and now it's in half of that, just 17%. So the optics continue to go on. The Twitter files is huge, and we covered several of those stories. I think there are up to 40 or 50 or 60 Twitter files, and Musk is just telling the truth, is that Twitter was an arm of the government. And people don't really understand that. We have ongoing work in the House to be able to figure out the money that the FBI paid to Twitter in compensation for their time in order to do the government work, to be able to get the receipts about who ordered what, who got paid, and et cetera, for that. And remember with this optic that the idea of an insurrectionist. That this is a nice video to remind you that this was the usual call from the left to foment violence against Trump. So the hypocrisy of this is just ridiculous. And if you want to be reminded of that history, there's a nice video for you. And this was an example of election fraud, and this is in Connecticut. And the Democrat judge has overturned their primary results because they found the candidate and their offices in office stuffing ballot boxes and caught on video. And that's a nice precedent to set up for the possibility for justice in the 2020 election fraud. Brian, your thoughts on the Biden-Trump optics?
Well, any American with a brain that stands independently from academia and the mainstream media recognizes that Biden is nothing more than a puppet. And the puppeteer appears more and more every day to be a Barack Obama or a Barack Obama type crony or one of the guys that was pulling the strings on a Barack Obama. Biden tapped Obama recently as sort of an AI, artificial intelligence czar, promising to employ Barack Obama to help out with new policies towards artificial intelligence. But it seems to me that artificial intelligence is simply geared towards sort of the Wikipedia CIA approach to what happened. And it looks like it uses that as a higher grade of primary source than anything else that you can find out there. Of course, Google's been having its algorithms pointed at us for quite a while in terms of making sure to destroy or eliminate any of the dissenting opinions about what has taken place regarding false flags, or what has taken place in terms of the Q movement, or what has taken place in terms of any other conspiracy that is probably actually true out there. Of course, at the same time, they let the wild ones go free because it discredits all of us. And that's the idea of coining the term conspiracy theorist, is to discredit us and to make us look like we're a bunch of loony leaning lefties that are way outside the bases. Whatever, some of us can actually think, and some of us can actually sit down and analyze and chew on facts and situations and try to figure out what actually happened. It's what I do all day, every day, is solve puzzles. I got a pile of files here, and I'm solving puzzles. I'm solving puzzles for the family. I'm solving puzzles for friends. I'm solving puzzles for clients. It's just what I do. What puzzles me is that Trump puzzles me a lot. And I don't know if he's just simply playing buddy buddy with the apparatus to try to keep himself in higher favor, because when you start to break loose from the traditional lines, you start to lose a lot of support from the people that rely on the traditional lines. And, Trump was, in my opinion, trying to return power in a sense to the American people from the corrupt bureaucratic establishment. That's what he ran on. That's what he spoke of. That was his inaugural address. That was pretty much what he did, was he went after the swamp creatures and said that he was going to prosecute them. Now, did he do any of it? No. Did he have any? I mean, he had, why the hell put Bill Barr in as attorney general if you want to go after the apparatus? He's king of the apparatus, been running around since the assassination of Kennedy and MENA, Arkansas, at all these different events as a part of this apparatus. Why in the world would you take a deep state actor of Dick Cheney caliber and place him in to this position? Why would you select a Mike Pence, who's obviously a fraud, in my opinion, a fraud, walks around pretending to be a, well-dressed Christian with a nice positive attitude, but in reality, he had his sights on the presidency, along him and Paul Ryan both. And I'm talking about that famous interview, which we've never aired or even spoken about, which was the drop audio recording of James Clapper, where he basically laid it all out. I do have a copy of it. I don't distribute it very freely because I'm frankly afraid of it, because it's an audio recording of James Clapper sort of tell all. Lasts about 25 minutes, and it drops just about every name in DC that's important in terms of who they are and where they play and how they do it. Just an amazing treasure trove. Of course, anybody who is going to fight the article, the audio, is going to say, well, it's artificial intelligence and it's generated, but hey, whatever. So back to my point, Donald Trump is to me an anomaly. I can't understand him. But what other alternative do we have at this particular point in time? Where are we going to find a patriot that's going to be able to get enough traction, that's going to be able to make an actual change with these swamp creatures in DC? And I don't know where that's going to come from. I certainly don't think it's going to be a Mike Johnson or a Mike Johnson type. I would have taken a Jim Jordan over a Mike Johnson any day, although people said he was actually one of the trainers, people that built it. I just don't like these guys that take sides. And Johnson's just a little too far on one side or the other. Trump, theoretically a great economic leader, a great cultural leader. I don't know about that. Do we need a great cultural leader or want one? Well, somebody's got to be able to trump the academic institutions. So I see ourselves in a bad spot with all this. And obviously, everything that's happening in the Biden regime is a protection racket for very powerful people. I just don't know where we're going to be going from here. I do think Trump's going to win the next election cycle, but whether he's going to be capable of accomplishing anything of value, I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I have no confidence in being able to predict what's going on in the future. Taking a look at Trump, is that my conclusion is that he played brilliant defense, and that was the name of the game. He wasn't up for playing offense. He wouldn't have put the people into positions of power if he wanted to play offense and go after these people. But of course, any threat to the deep state, they would assassinate people. So whatever is going on is a type of psyop. Because certainly, if Trump was telling the truth, he would have to say, look, this is a position where people get killed if they go against the illegal deep state that I'm mentioning right now, and they've been trying to kill me for. I mean, what do you do with that? It is crazy. And my conclusion is with Q that the military is the only way. We need to have some sort of a public breakthrough where we have a critical mass of the American public saying for themselves that it's not just corrupt, it's not just shady, but it is literal criminal, and that Americans will stand with Gandhi and King and withdraw consent and demand that these people be removed from the capacity to commit further criminal damages. And until we get enough people who can point with confidence to the crimes and saying, I have this is ridiculous, then it's going to keep going on and on. So we'll see what develops.
Let me point something out about that. Okay, there's a way that seems right to man. I mean, it looks right. There's a path that seems right to us, but in the end, often that way that leads to destruction. Look, we can't see the future. We don't know how tomorrow's going to play out. We're stuck in time, developing through time, taking what we learn from history and applying it into the future. But I can tell you something that God of the Bible, Yahweh, that the old Tetragrammaton, how else could you prophesy something 3,000 years in advance if you weren't simultaneously present throughout all time, knowing how it would develop? Now, that doesn't make it fatalistic, but I'm just saying this. Our battle is not necessarily with flesh and blood. Our battle, as we were told in the book of Ephesians, is with the principalities and powers and spirits. And we're given certain armor and certain armaments to fight that battle. But the problem is, we're not effective warriors unless we're getting our guidance from the right place. So it's, you say Q is our only hope, and I'll admit it is, if you're just going to put it on paper. But I'm going to tell you something, that this world is not necessarily all about power and how power ebbs and flows and moves around. Remember, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns all of history, and he also wrote or authored through the Holy Spirit the book of Revelation about the end times, which I believe is going to be absolutely accurate in terms of what happened when you look at it in reverse after we die and we're able to see it all develop. So Q is a great theory. I love to study it. I love to read the drops. I love to see the different twists and turns. Obviously, some entity of great intelligence analyzing events and sort of giving us feedback as to how this operation might unfold. But what have you done for me? What have you done for me? Show me a perp walk. Show me something. Show me something other than a bunch of talk. Now, granted, there's a lot of weird things happening all over the place, but how do we know that you're winning if we don't know what you are and what you're doing? Well, how are we supposed to evaluate this particular situation? I must say, I'd rather put my faith elsewhere than in an entity that I don't understand and I don't know what's there. Remember, but there are all sorts of operations out there to designed to flush out opposition and flush out resistance. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. Pretend to be your friend so that you'll tell them who you really are, so that they can use that in a court of law to have you persecuted or prosecuted. Is that possibly what's happening in that particular scenario? And I don't know the answer, although fascinated, no doubt, with the drops and how they work.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And I'm with you is that the primary faith is going, this is a tremendous test and tremendous pressure. And anything that you test has to go under pressure. And if one is strong in your faith, in your experience and expression that you're a child of God and that this God is loving, then what are you worried about? Because I'm with you, and I frame it that whatever God is that time is irrelevant and that this is a mastery of time. And if perhaps you don't like how versions came out, as a God, you could even go back in time and adjust things if you wanted to, or whatever it is. We're just little monkey brains trying to figure out what's going on. I won't say a monkey brain, but
that's a good point.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
Point we are monkey brains, and we really are. I mean, what, 60, 70, 80 years?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to try to we're all right, let's go on.
Wait, but let me point one other thing out. If we're going to have a conversation about this idea called God, a lot of people really miss the boat when trying to evaluate who is God, what is God, where is God, why can't I put my fingers on him, why can't I see him, why isn't he talking to me? And I think a lot of the generalized problem out there is that people believe in fair play. They believe that if this God exists, that he's going to play fair, and if he makes a promise, he's going to follow through with it, and that if he says this, then we're absolutely going to understand what he said about how it works. And so a lot of people fall into a trap that destroys a lot of people's faith, and the trap is something called retribution theology, the idea that if I do this, then God will do that. It's a simple if-then proposition. If I go pay my tithes, God will make my bank account grow. If I go to church, and if I love my neighbor, and if I do this, I'll prosper and I won't be hurt. And this is a major flaw in terms of people's understanding of Christianity. I mean, Jesus Christ come along, he's a perfect guy. Nobody can put sin on him anywhere. They're doing everything they can to try to hit him with everything from every different angle, because they're looking for their great Messiah king that's going to come along and deliver them from the yoke of the Romans. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. Nothing sticks anywhere. And yet he ends up on the cross. And so the problem a lot of people run into is that they think that we can define God with sort of an if-then approach. And let me tell you something. His ways are not our ways. And whatever happened in the Old Testament related to all the bloodshed, I don't understand it in today's culture and in today's mind, but whatever happened, it happened. And I'm going to tell you, that is exactly the same God that is asking for you to trust him in spite of the fact that you can't put him into a mathematical box of, seriously, do you really think you can manipulate God by saying, if I do this, you'll do that? I mean, it's foolishness.
Childish.
He built the whole structure.
Okie doke. Yeah, this is like the most important conversation to have. Where do we come from? Who are we really? What is this place? And for students, yeah, I guess we will talk about this a little bit more. In sophomore world history in the state of California, we have, or sophomores in high school, they have the social studies class World History, which is a briefing pretty much from the French Revolution on to today, but we revisit in the past, and I would give an overview, a summary of the world's religions. And in terms of, and also being credentialed in mathematics, the idea of what God is that we can simply say it is a source, it is a creator, and that is the foundation from which things come. And that is going to be the power that sets up all of the rules, everything that we find ourselves within. And our understanding is going to be limited. So and we have enough in the book that you have to take kind of the perspective of a child. And you do have opportunity to experience and express. And as you sow, and so shall you reap. And for people who are paying enough attention, people do have the opportunity to hone in on their intuition, on whatever is a connection from us to the creator. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And to begin to find out that while you can't, we have apparently no power over the particular aspects, and you can't deal, you can't bargain, but you can be a good person and do good works everywhere that you go and represent the idea that we're brothers and sisters all and stand for integrity. And that seems to open interesting doors and a pathway that may be described, just looking back at my own life, of one failure after another, but the progression leads you up to being a person that is, like, I feel definitively responsible for being a good person and respectful, and to be able to definitively call out the evil that we witness and to be a messenger. And you asked, you know, the fascination of Q is that I also conclude that this is just a messenger, and all of us are really just messengers. And messengers, we have, as messengers, we have no apparent power other than the veracity of our message. And that apparently all that our role is at this time is to offer choice. And that, you know, we've done in abundance. We seem to have no power to be able to transform the experience of human people. We've talked about this a lot in my experience, that 2% can engage in these conversations, and 49 out of 50, the 98%, they may nod their head a little bit, but they're going to go back and watch CNN and believe what they're told there. So whatever is going on, it is fascinating. And I do feel a connection that somehow this is going to work out. I hope it's not in the next experience of a lifetime, just because, you know, we've put in so much work in this place, even though it may just be a simulation from the creator. Anything else you want to say, brother?
No, we can move on to the other stories. I'm sure that this particular audience isn't exactly appreciative of my perspective as a whole.
you can't believe the comments that we get on BitChute. They're going to be seated there, and they're just going to look to discourage people. That's been consistent for decades. So let's see, what are we doing here? This is the COVID recognition to be able to move forward. So Steve Kirsch, recommend him. I guess he is my favorite writer on this topic. So he's saying 42% of Americans would join a class action lawsuit if that was permitted against the vaccines. And some of the data there is that 47% personally know someone who was killed by the COVID virus. 24% know somebody who was killed by the COVID vaccine. 56% of the people got vaccinated. Who got vaccinated are or were vaccine injured in some way. And the bottom line is that the data is just overwhelming that we were lied to, and these are crimes against humanity. And that's the testimony of the WEF's co-founder's son, says that this was democide. And that is the best word for it, is democide. COVID was never...
Democide? Yeah. Sorry, this client trying to give me money, so I got to...
Oh, yep.
Democide. Yeah, go ahead.
Democide. Yes. COVID was never bad enough to shut down the border. And that this is Jim Fetzer's site. Nice picture of Jim there. And with the crash of deterioration of mental health, is that people have noticed that the official policies have not made people any happier, more fully self-expressed, more joyful. And I think that works against the official narrative. And again, this is my contribution as a scholar with sufficient documentation to be able to demonstrate that the COVID narrative is full of provable lies and provable crimes, and it is sufficient to withdraw consent and demand leaders arrest and not play any more of those games with those so-called leaders. All right, Brian, what would you like to say about the COVID?
You witnessed the largest psychological operation in the history of mankind with COVID. I mean, some might argue that the World War II deception could have been one of the largest psychological operations. There's other operations that have taken place, but COVID in particular was a grand plan rolled out by a mind dead set on death and murder and destruction long play. I mean, it sought as a operation to isolate us, keep us locked up in our homes, set us 6 feet apart from our neighbors, told us that we couldn't hug our dying mother before she died, or our grandfather, told us that only a few people could go to our daughters' and sons' weddings, told us that we couldn't have our surgery on our heart to survive. And they did that actually to me. Fortunately, a couple of the cardiologists overruled, but they told us that we couldn't have our stent put in our heart when we're having a heart attack because we might have the COVID. They rolled out a replacement for the common flu. And unfortunately, it appears from my perspective that it backfired in a large way long term. It may have had the short term result of screwing up American society, allowing them to fake the election results. It may have had the short term result of allowing governments to grow larger and more powerful, taking more security and rights away from people all around the world. It had a short term effect. But those long-term effects were not nearly as effective as they had probably hoped to have. So now they're going to have to take much more draconian measures in terms of psychological operations. It's difficult for me to anticipate what it is, but I've always believed that the final card would be some sort of alien deception, some sort of great hologram in the sky, some sort of great event that would bring the world together under one leader. And if you don't think that that's going to happen, then may I remind you that the same guy who wrote the book of Revelation was the same guy named John, that was a disciple of Christ, stood right next to him for his entire 3.5 year ministry, and knew him and was considered to be one of his best friends. And he wrote that in his old age, close to 80 or 90 years old, while he was exiled on the island of Patmos, where he was. Where he was taken up into what's called the third heaven and shown these things, and he wrote them down. And this writing was considered recognized by all the early church leaders, although they couldn't understand it, as inspired on the same level as any of the Apostle Paul's writings, on the same level as the four Gospels, on the same level as the Old Testament as a whole. And this was officially recognized at the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, a long time after, but remember that the scriptures were just simply recognized. So if you look at Revelation, you see that very clearly the Bible has been indicating the coming of an Antichrist. And they indicate that with the same strength that they indicated the coming of a suffering servant named the Messiah. So is it going to happen? Yes. In what sequence? How is it going to happen? Are we interpreting it right? Is the Greek easy to translate? Can we understand the concepts? Let me tell you something. You cannot understand the book of Revelation unless you have a solid understanding of the Old Testament, especially the book of Daniel, which is another type of prophetic book. You simply can't. They have to be tied together. The Old Testament, with the bloody God Yahweh and the cleansing of the land and all the terrible things that people like to put on it, also showed a lot of very flawed people in a lot of very flawed places doing a lot of very flawed things, including David and Solomon and others that did ridiculous, stupid stuff that would normally be condemned or even punishable by death in these societies. It's the same God that wrote it all out. And my point is, the Old Testament was Christ concealed, the New Testament was Christ revealed. And what happens in the book of Revelation is the culmination of the second line of prophecy. Remember, I said there was two lines, the suffering servant and the reigning king. And we haven't seen the reigning king line yet. We don't know how that plays out. We're taking a far view at it. But I'm going to tell you something. When it rolls out, it's going to be a different experience for all of us, assuming we're here to see it.
Yep. And the alien invasion, Wernher von Braun, his right hand person, a PhD. Von Braun was the rocket scientist for the Nazis. He was brought over on Operation Paperclip, and he was the one of the leaders for NASA. And the secretary, I forget her name, Carol somebody, said that on his deathbed, Wernher von Braun said, Carol Rosen, I believe, the last card there, and he predicted exactly what was going to happen, with terrorists are going to be fomented as an enemy, and that the public is going to be galvanized to fight terrorism, and the last card would be the alien card, and that is going to be the attempt to get all of humanity to follow one global leader. So I'm with you. We'll see. We haven't seen
It
that. We've
could be
seen.
an alien. It could be another pandemic of some sort. It could be, I mean, who knows what they've got to unleash. I don't like to put it in a box. I like to take it one day at a time by faith. And I think that's really the appropriate tack to take. Love thy neighbor, take it one day at a time, and take it by faith. And you'll be okay. Even if bad things happen to you, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Bad things happened to Job, his righteous servant. Bad thing happened to Jesus. Bad things happened all over the place to good men. You don't get the if I'm a good guy, then God's going to be good to me. It doesn't work that way.
No, that doesn't seem to be consistent with the history that we can see in our own personal experience. We'll go on to final thoughts and I'll jump in here. I like how you, and I'm just going to jump off on the final thoughts of what you're saying, because that is the most important, is that, and we have mentioned it here. So the center is going to be one's faith, and people make choices. People say things about how life is going, and that's in response to questions that we all answer, but few people ask them consciously. So if you're standing as a child of a loving creator, then again, what do you got to worry about? Nothing. Nothing. And if you're honest, you know, maybe it's just me because I'm a scholar and I've tested out really high on the bell curves for intelligence, but maybe my contribution is to let people know, all right, so somebody who tests high and the ability to do book stuff, I don't know shit about fuck. That's important. And the brutal honesty of that, for me to look at data, I mean, I have to have hands and eyes on for a long time before I have any confidence to be able to point to stuff and say, okay, I think this is what's going on, and that isn't what's going on, and here's how I know that. That takes a long time and not with a very high level of confidence. So, audience members, patriots, all I can do is encourage your intellectual integrity to be able to tell the truth as best you're able, and your moral courage to face whatever it is that we have to face, and just the humility. And back to what we mentioned, just with having the graciousness and the humility of a child, to know that we don't understand much of what we think that we see. And I
Oh,
like
we
how
don't.
David Icke puts it, and he says, okay, the electromagnetic spectrum of energy of all possible frequencies, we can tune in and we can decode with our five senses, just like a fraction, 1/100,000th of 1% or something like that. So there's a lot going on that we don't know. And especially if you consider that we may have been manipulated and stupefied, we can definitely demonstrate that human beings have been poisoned, tortured, and mind controlled. And so, from that status with intelligence, that we're smarter than a goldfish, yeah, okay, but we're not that smart. And we prove it to ourselves all the time. So, for the audience members, hang in there. Try to find some comfort in creativity that gives you some personal sense of accomplishment in this tough time, because I do think that this is the storm. And as we keep saying, as I keep on saying for months and years, something's got to break. Something's got to break. And it's either going to display a new playing field where there will be openings for us to jump in, something could break for the good, where this evil will be exposed, and all of this work that we've done is patriot messengers, and all of the behind the scenes recognition of the general public We'll see if they're ready, but whatever it is, we're not sure, and we're going to discover it together. But for sure, we're going to be back presenting the news as long as the show is going on. Brian, your final thoughts.
Dying is easy. It's living right that's hard. Every one of us every day wakes up with something in our mind. There's some sort of negative self-talk, self-condemnation, some sort of mistake that we've made, or something that we dwell on, or some weight burden that's on our shoulders. Dying is easy, and giving up and just choosing to lay back and sit on the couch and flip the channels and close it out. Anybody can do that. You want to be a righteous man, confront your flaws. Literally, take the time to sit down and write out everything you're ashamed of, everything that's ever happened to you, everything you've ever done, every secret you've ever told, every dirty closet. Clean them out, write them down. Focus on them, understand them, know your flaws, know your weakness, do some introspection, look for that deep, dark thing that drives the things that aren't understood, and then take it out, lay it at the foot of a cross, and burn it. Because that's what Jesus did for us, and he allows us to sleep like a baby. I sleep like a baby. I have flaws, I have problems, sins, all sorts of stuff. But I sleep like a baby because I can tell you something. I've got nothing left to hide because I've laid it all out. And I sleep like a baby. That's why to me this is exciting, watching the end times develop, watching how this all plays out. This is very exciting. I'm at the prime of my life in terms of my ability to see and appreciate every single day as the sun rises and the sun sets. I have never thought of another time in my life where I've been more appreciative of current events and friends and people around me than now. But it's only because I've got nothing to hide. And I've got nothing to hide because I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a flawed person. So I hope you can do the same thing I've done, figure out how to break loose from all that darkness and start to stand tall, especially fighting for America and for our children and fighting for what we are.
Bless you, brother. Bless you, audience. I know that you're here because you resonate with what Brian is talking about. And at least a strong part of you is on board to be able to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and to make a connection with human beings and with our creator rather than the destruction that we witness day to day. We'll see what's happening between now and when we return on Monday for more of the news that you need to know.